God.
I thank the Lord for keeping us. I thought that Mrs. Smith would be here tonight, but I guess she's not. Still having going round and round this COVID. We had supposed to be in Sewell on tomorrow and Sunday and getting ready to go down. And last week, Paul came home, Timaeus came home from school, and they'd sent them all home because they had, he said he'd been exposed to COVID, didn't have COVID, COVID was in the room. And then he went back to school and everything was clear. And then Thursday again, he's exposed to COVID again. And I'm saying to myself, when are y'all going to figure it out? it doesn't pass the sense of people who have common sense and have the Holy Ghost. When are you going to figure it out? You keep doing the same thing. How do you expect to have something different happen? And you're not going to make the kids wear masks, make the teachers wear masks. Of course you're going to have COVID there. Because you have children whose parents are into this, whatever they're into, who have no regard for anybody other than themselves. If you're diseased and you're caring and you don't want to do anything to keep anybody else from getting it, you have no concern for anybody else except for yourself, and that's just not good. So I'm praying the Lord will bless us and keep us, and I'm going to look tonight for a few minutes, and actually I'm going to look at 2 Corinthians because I think that's where I'm going to be tomorrow, and Sunday. And I'm going to Zoom for anybody who would like to tune in. I'm going to Zoom for Promise, at least from I'll be in Little Valley, but for all of you who come up on Zoom, it really won't make any difference because we'll be on Zoom. I think it might be a little bit earlier, though. I think I plan on starting about 10:15, so about 10:30. So you're looking like about a 9:30 start. But by the time we get around to all the praise and worship and things and doing it, then... And if you're there on time at 9:45, you probably be good. 9:45 our time. I want to look at 2 Corinthians and for a few minutes tonight because I was praying and this comes back to me as something that you hear a lot about. Elder Sewell said to me, she said, when you come, we have new members, can you kind of stay in the New Testament? Because I preach a lot in the Old Testament. She said, that always seems like that's just for the preachers. Well, you might be right on to a great extent. Usually the Holy Ghost uses, I like to think that the Holy Spirit uses me according to what the need is. And sometimes when you're in a room full of people who've been saved for, longer than 3 years, 4, 5, 6 years, 10 years or whatever, then probably the lessons are more geared in that direction. But the truth of it is preaching out the New Testament, when I've seen so many people use that to just preach the saints and as if nothing else matters to the people that are there. But I want to look at 2 Corinthians, 5th chapter today, which is really, I don't know how to say to Elder Latham, Elder Russell, whoever, Elder Jenkins, whoever. I don't know. I've said it so many times. It's such a great book in the Bible, and you get so much out of it. And I don't know how you distinguish, because 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, is another one of those chapters that's just, if you're a good preacher, this is one of these chapters that really you got to kind of live in. And he talks about in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And everybody just, I was talking about this the other day, and everybody just kind of, goes on with that. I'm not even sure if a lot of the people who have been saved for a long time, and I'm not saying they're not saved, but I'm not even sure that a lot of people who've been saved for a long time really, really understand the fullness of being a new creature.
Yeah.
And all that it does, and how once you get the revelation of being a new creature, how many things from your old life you just simply put away. It's like what you don't touch when you get. I was out mowing lawns today and doing that. The house at the church and doing all those. You get all sweaty and you get all dirty, and I have one pair of sneakers that I keep in the garage that I don't even usually wear in the house because they have grass and everything on them. And when I have old jeans and things that I wear when I'm out there, because I don't care if I get grease on them or oil on them or whatever. And you get all dirty when you're out there doing that. And then when I come in, I take those things off. I don't even, if they're really sweaty and everything, I don't even bring them in the house. I hang them in the garage so they can dry off from all the sweat and everything, because you don't want to put them in the hamper and you leave the shoes. In other words, they're just dirty.
Yes.
And then you come in and you take a shower and you put all new clothes from top to bottom. And then if I look out there and see that there's a part of the lawn that I missed or whatever, it just has to stay missed because I'm clean now.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm not gonna get dirty again.
Yeah, that's right.
And when you really, you know, don't just quote what the Bible says, but when you really get the revelation of it, when it becomes a reality, there's so many changes that we do, so many things we do, when we really understand that we are new creatures, and as we're really trying to bear fruit and really bring in new people and add them to the kingdom of God, it is so imperative that we understand ourselves what a new creature is all about, so that we don't try to put on them. You know, when I take my shower, I don't put back on the same old clothes that I took off.
That's right.
I don't want to put on anything that I took off.
Right. Yes.
And when you're a new creature, you shouldn't, you know, when you're a new creature, all things become new. You shouldn't want to carry anything with you that was old and dirty. Yeah. Whatever came off, you know, you want to leave off. And that's just among us. That didn't just stop it, you know, not doing the outward things. But there's so much about us that remains unchanged in our walk in Christ.
Yes.
It is by the grace and mercy of Christ that He saves us and keeps us, and we could be so much more in God if we would allow the Lord to change us more.
Yes. Right.
If we didn't get ourselves to a certain, we love to have everything in levels, as we say them, and we're always trying to go to another level or ascend or do something else. I was preaching last week, and I'm not. This is not a long sermon tonight, but sometimes I do better at bringing points out. You know, when I think about them, sometimes I do a better job of bringing them out than I do at others. It just depends on how the Spirit deals with me. I kind of find out that if I go through a sermon all day long or what I'm going to talk about at night, it doesn't go well.
Yeah.
If I just get a good thought and let the Lord deal with me, it seems to go better. But we were talking about last week about the corruption in the earth, and I was talking about how that isn't just, you know, when it talks about escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust, it's not just talking about escaping the bars or escaping, you know, cigarettes or escaping, you know, liquor or whatever. It refers to escaping the corruption that came in the earth when Adam and Eve fell in the garden. And that corruption is one of the reasons why you saw a hurricane last week.
Yes, yes.
And that corruption is why you see turmoil, and it's why you see people serving idol gods who are forever at war. That corruption.
Yes, yes.
It's not a little penny ante. You know, it is that too, of right where you live, and it is the bars and things. But those are small potatoes, little, as they say. The big corruption is the sin that is in the earth that sends you to hell and doesn't let you live and so forth and so on. That corruption.
Yes, yes.
That's what we have escaped in Christ. Christ didn't die so I'd stop smoking.
Yeah. Right, yes.
He didn't need to die so I'd stop drinking beer. You know, those are my own death would have stopped those. Those things could have been stopped just by me dying. Christ died to set us free from the power of sin that was in the earth, and it came about at the fall in the garden, and it's so much more, because it is what brought about all the small things we do, and much more than all the things we do, it also brought about the corruptness of how we think. And the corruptness of our affections that leads us to be angry and hurt and all the various things that we go through for such an extended period of time, in other words, it wasn't just the corruption of the things that outward, it was the corruption of my soul. You know, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden and sin came in, my soul got corrupted.
Yes.
You know, this is this so that it, even today, it is such a job to compel men and women, compelling them by giving them the Word of God and giving them the gifts of God and all that's necessary. It is so difficult to get people saved today, and you know, and always has been. We say today, but it always has been, because of the corruption of our soul, because our souls are born in sin.
Oh yeah.
And shaping in iniquity. And you have an affinity or a love for it. And you have even people who, you know, say, well, they don't have any self-esteem or they're just whatever. There's a certain amount of love they have for themselves. And then there are those of us out of the three sins that John says, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Out of all those, probably the worst one of all of them is pride of life.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where ambition is, and that's where that's why there are wars, and that's why there are, you know, that's where power comes in and money comes in. So when we're looking at being new creatures, when the Lord saves us and makes us new, there's a whole lot more to us being new than, you know, I don't do the things I used to do, which is certainly a part of it, but it needs to be, I don't do the things I used to do because the person who used to do them died.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And I'm not the way I was because the person who was that way died. Not that I don't do them because now I found out, you know, this ain't what we do and this is not the CLGI way. And no offense to CLGI, but I get so tired of hearing people say that. When are we going to start saying God's way?
Yeah.
This is not the Lord's way. This is not the way of the Spirit.
Yes.
And this is not the will of God. That's not the way the Lord would have it.
Yes.
That's not according to Scripture.
Yes.
And you know, there's so many other ways of saying it, which would be right. And then, if all those ways fit into our organization, then good. That's the way it's supposed to be. But we're not the originator of this. God is.
God is.
You know, you don't tell a mother that you look just like your child. You don't ever say that.
No.
I don't know anybody that says that. You look just like your, you look just like your children. No, you say to them, your children look like you because they were here first. Well, you know, it's not our way. It's God's way.
God's way.
It has become our way. It's not. And not only that, but the other reason is not, and I'm not knocking the organization, but when you say things like that, you make us sound cultish.
Yep. Yes.
You make it sound like, you know, like we're in some sort of cult or something, and you know, we've been led by something that's other than God. I mean, we're not the only people. You know, there are many people in the world who claim God as their claim Jehovah God as their God, and yet they don't serve the God we serve because they don't. Their God doesn't fit our God's description.
Description, yes.
We don't. Our God never sent an angel. You know, name what was the angel name that came to Joseph Smith? Was it Raphael or somebody like that? We have a God like their God, but our God is. But you have to. It have to fit to be our God, the one that's in the Bible.
Yes.
That's what has to happen. So we need to stop.
Yes.
Stop trying to claim that somehow or another we have a gospel of our own.
Yes.
I used to sit and cringe sometimes when people would say, "Who have? Do I have all members tonight? No new people? Okay, I can talk about this." I used to cringe when people used to get up and they preach and say, "This gospel we got, this gospel, like we've got something that's different from everybody else's gospel. If it's the gospel, it's the same wherever it is."
That's right.
And they would never tell people what it said. They just keep saying, "And when I found this gospel," and it's like a long time ago, and I am moving on, but I will tell you this. A long time ago, I read a Kenneth, everybody used to talk about Kenneth, not Hagin, but Kenneth
Copeland.
No, I said it wrong then. Not Kenneth Copeland, but Kenneth Hagin. He was a great faith guy, wrote all the faith books. So I got one time because I wanted to figure out how he's doing all these miracles and, you know, saving, you know, getting people healed and all this. I'm going to read the book. You know, you want to find out. So I got his book, you know, I think Paula had this in my head, and I got his book, and I read it. Well, you know me, I'm impatient when it comes to reading things. He kept talking about the testimony of this lady over here, this happened, and she got healed and whatever, and I said, "Glory to God, how did it happen?" And then he talked about somebody over here, such happened, and I said, "Glory to God, how did that happen?" And I thought sooner or later he was going to tell me how to increase my faith, and he never got around to it. So I turned to the back of the book. Because I want to know somewhere along the line is, okay, I'm in favor of you giving me all these testimonies. How are you doing it?
Yes.
I want to know, you know, where do I, how do I get what you got? How do I get the Lord to move like you're getting him moving? And how do I get in God so that God will have, you will favor me or will bless me or will give me? You know, that's what I want to know. And when people come to Christ, what they need to know is not just I'm saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, but how do I get there?
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
I'm saved and the Lord is on my side and I've got heaven in view and God is blessing me and keeping me. Well, if I walked in the door and I really enjoyed what you said about how to be blessed, the next thing I want to know is well, how do I get it?
Yeah, yes.
So if you jump up and down on me and you just go all that night, I'm so glad I came in here. And when I heard this gospel, and that's all of your sermon, I could have stayed home. I send that to anybody who preaches that kind of sermon. I could have stayed home. I'm so glad I came. I didn't have nothing going till I came in here and I heard the word. Now tell us the word.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I could have.
And so,
if you plan on preaching one of those sermons around me, then just know that, hey, you know, I'm polite and I'll sit there, but I left you a long time ago. When we look at being a new creature in Christ, then we need to, then the people need to know the reason why I'm new is because the old me died.
Yes.
And that I'm crucified with Christ. And then when they look at that, there's an example. What is the example? Well, the example is in Romans, the 7th chapter. So Romans chapter 7. And he uses the example of what he talks about. He's talking about being set free from the law. And he says, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, which means that in Romans chapter 7, he's talking primarily to the Jewish believers, how that the law hath dominion over man as long as he lives. I want to say to all of you, Paul is saying, don't you know that the law, and I speak to those who need know the law, the Jewish believers, because the Gentile believers were never under the law. He says, but all of you who know the law, don't you know that the law has dominion over you? You must obey the law as long as you live.
Yeah.
As long as you live. And then when you die, you're free from the law.
Oh, that's right, yes.
He says in this, for a woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she marries another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no longer an adulteress, though she be married to another man. So he says there, he says, if the husband dies, then the woman can start over again. And he says, wherefore, my brethren, you also become dead to the law by the body of Christ. When Christ died, you became dead to the law. It was done away with because Christ fulfilled the law. Now, a lot of us don't even understand what we mean when we say Christ fulfilled the law. He satisfied the law.
Yes.
He fulfilled the law, the requirement. For example, if I have a lien on this building from the bank and I borrow money from the bank, there is a law that says, one, I must pay the bank interest. Two, I must pay the bank according to their time agreements. There is, according to the law, I must insure this building.
Yes.
For its worth. As long as it has a lien to the, you know, for the bank, as long as it has, you know, as long as the bank, you know, has a lien on it. These things must be satisfied by the law. But when I paid the bank off, I fulfilled that portion of the law.
Yeah.
Now, if I don't want to have insurance, I don't have to. It'd be foolish not to, but I don't have to.
Yeah.
And I don't have to pay a certain amount every month. I've satisfied all these. When Christ comes, since he doesn't have himself, since he himself is not born in sin, and since the penalty for sin is death.
Yes.
The penalty for sin is death. The wages of sin is death. When sin came, and it says it in Romans 5th chapter, says it in 1 Corinthians the 15th chapter, says it in 1 Thessalonians all the way through. When sin came, death came. Death came by sin, so that all men are born in sin, because death has come to all men.
Yes.
Then what had to happen in order for us to have life was death had to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
Sin and death had to be dealt with. Sin had to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
Because Adam and Eve had no sin in them, they had no reason to sin, but they decided to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And when they decided to do it, and they didn't have to do it a lot of times, once was enough, they became sinners.
Yeah.
And now, how do you reverse the process? Because you can't unsin.
Yeah.
Once you've done it, you've done it. It's like among all the young people. You only get to be a virgin once.
That's right.
And then it's done. Yeah. Now you can be in God, and it's a good thing to do if you come to God, the Lord saved you, and then you live a chaste life, you know, and like L. Layton said, you know, you become a spiritual virgin until you get married. Well, that's good. That works. That's fine. New creature, let's do that.
Yes.
But in a sense, it's a one-time thing. It's the same thing with sin. So then everybody after Adam and Eve sinned, since they're born in Adam, since he carries all of us in his loins, in his genes, all of us have Adam's genes. Yes. Every last one of us. Yes. If you live on earth, you have Adam's genes.
Yes.
I go, you ain't better than that. You have Noah's genes.
Yeah.
So then sin came. Then God decides, well, the penalty for sin is death. And this is where in Romans, the 5th chapter, it says, peradventure or perhaps or maybe for some people, a good man would die. I would die for my family. Many people would die for their husbands, their wives, their children. They would throw themselves in front of a bus and save their kids. I know I would. He says, but this man, even when we were enemies, he says, but most people are not going to die for their enemies. And I agree again, yeah. Not going to die for my enemies. I'm like, you know, probably not going to die for them.
No.
Shows how much greater Jesus is than me.
Yes, yes.
He is so far beyond me. Then if someone would desire to die for another to take away their sins, we could not, because all of us being born in sin are already under the penalty of sin.
Right.
It's like if a person, it's like if you have all the people lined up on death row, and one of the people on death row says, hey, look, God, warden, I'll just go ahead and die for all these guys. It won't work.
No.
That's right.
You have your own, you know, you're already under the penalty of death yourself. It won't work.
Your own condemnation.
So then God says, then I need, the only way I'm going to be able to set people free from sin, which is what he figured out before he even created us, because this was the plan from the beginning of the world. If you read Ephesians, you really understand it, and you really get the understanding what predestination is, and I won't even go there either, but when you really understand what predestination is, it lets you know that even before man was ever created, God set up the system and design and made the way and the process clear, that he would end up with people who would be in his own image and the height of his creation, who would serve him of their own free will.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why I have such a difficult time in church with people trying to force us to do things,
mm-hmm.
or force me to do things.
Yes.
Because I have enough laws on earth,
yep.
of things that I have to do.
Yeah.
And then when I try to live right and I come to the house of God, the last thing I need is for you to try and write a whole lot of laws and legislate. And I need to be here whether I want to go there or not. And I need to show up over here and spend my money to get there whether I want to go there or not. And I need to sit there and listen whether I want to sit there and listen or not.
Yeah.
What you need to do is give me something to hear that I want to hear.
Yes.
Say, well, you got itching ears? Mm-mm. No, I'm in the Lord. I'll hear the word of God. What you need to do, if you're going to ask me to come, when I get there, bless me.
Bless me. Amen. That's right.
What you need to do, if you really want me to show up someplace, is when I let it be so that. So why do people get tired of coming? Because you're not blessing them.
Blessing them. That's right.
Why do you have to force people to show up different places? Because you're not blessing them. When people are being blessed, they run to where you are.
That's right.
Happens.
Yes.
And they don't have to be manipulated, and they don't have to be indoctrinated. And they don't have to be threatened with not having the Holy Ghost. They don't have to be threatened with not being spiritual. They don't have to be threatened with blasphemy against all the threats that are made. When people are being blessed, you don't have to do any of those.
Yes, that's right.
And here's the part about it. You can threaten, rebuke, do whatever you want, and you can manipulate and move the saints and do all those things and cause them to come and do whatever you want to do with them. But you can't make anybody be saved by that.
No. Can't make anybody be saved.
Not one single person will you save doing that.
No.
Even if they show up every Sunday, you can't rebuke them into being saved. You can't threaten them into being saved. They, at some point in time, they must decide themselves, I want the Lord. And hopefully that happens more times than others. But it happens because they're being blessed. It happens because you're being blessed. So back to this. So even before man was created, and when God planned after the pre-Adamite world and after Lucifer has fallen, after the earth had been plunged into darkness, and all those things that happened, and God decides he's going to create man and put him on earth again and go make him the height of all his creatures. When man falls, God already has a plan since the beginning that says that, well, if man sins, how shall I redeem him? If man sins, how shall I redeem him? The redemptive work of Calvary was not something that God got busy and instituted when Adam fell and they said, oh Lord, what are we going to do? And among the Word, the Holy Ghost, and God the Father, you know, he said, well, what are we going to do? He said, well, we have to work it out like this. No, from the beginning, from the time he decided to create man, he knew what he would do, that he would end up with a creature that would have his mind, would have his will, would have his emotions, would be like him, would have all the attributes he would have, and would yet glorify and serve him of his own free will.
Yes.
Then sin comes in and perverts that. And so God has decided, what I will need to do is I need to make a way to break sin's power. And it will have to be someone who will die for a man who has no sin himself. And since there's none in the earth that qualifies, then the one we know is Jesus, who is the Word, says in Hebrews the 12th chapter, lo, here am I. He says, I will go, in the volume of the book, talking about all that is written about him, everything is written. I have come to do the will of God. He volunteers. He takes on him, as it says in Philippians the 2nd chapter. He decides to come and save us and do all that's required in order to save us. His death becomes our death. And because of the death of this one man, all that will believe in his powerful sinless death and in his powerful sinless blood, God will forgive their sins because of the blood, and God will set them free from sin because of his powerful death, burial, and resurrection.
Amen. Yes.
Then God the Father, after he dies and is buried, he resurrects him from the dead after 3 days and three nights. And each portion of his powerful work on Calvary has a significance.
Yes,
his death represents my dying to my old life. I've completely separated from it. It is gone. If I could get everyone, I'm going to preach Sunday, and I'm going to, hopefully the Lord will bring me around to it. I want to convince people not, I don't want to frighten people into heaven. I want to convince them why they need it. You know, and there is the alternative of going to hell. You can't leave that out. You don't mind talking about it, but that's not that won't keep you saved. Hell is people who are living a long ways off. It's not today.
Yeah.
If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That means that old person, as it says in Romans, that the body of sin might be destroyed. It's done. It's over. You start new. And the thing I like about being new in God is you know, when he says in one place, you know, there are new mercies every day. You know, the newness of God just, you know how when you buy something, you buy a pair of shoes, you buy a car, you buy a house, you buy whatever you buy, and as you use it, it gets older and worn. And it's not that way in God. When God makes you a new creature, you get newer and newer and newer and newer and newer and newer and newer. Every day new mercies come and they refresh you, and the Word of God comes and makes you newer, and the Spirit of God comes and makes you newer. And maybe some of the, you know, maybe some of you are not, you know, something about you is not up to speed with the newness, and you stumble and you fall, you do whatever, but when you get up, you're new again, and you're new, and you stay new, and you stay new, and you keep getting newer all the way to glory.
Yes, that's all right.
This new creature is just the opposite from the old creature. The old creature just died, and every day death came, and every day aging came, and every day something, you know, and every day you got tired and more worn and more this. But this new creature just keeps getting refreshed and refreshed and going forward and forward. And if the old creature falls, it stumbles and it never recovers. But the new creature gets up and it gets renewed and keeps on going.
Amen.
If you're willing to be a new creature.
Yes.
Not just talk about it. There's so many things you need to say to yourself on so many different occasions and different ways. When you get ready to open your mouth, if you let the Holy Ghost, he would step up and say, new creature, and you say, old creature would have said that, but I'm not.
Yeah, yes.
Old creature would have done that, but I'm not. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new, and all things are of God. New things are of God. All the new things are of God. The new things are of God. If it's something old, then it's probably not of God. If this is what you do when you get angry, that portion is not of God. If this is how you react when you're discouraged, that portion is not of God. If this is what you do when someone hurts your feelings, that portion is not of God. The new one rebounds, and the new one is able to do the things that God does.
Yeah, yes. Amen.
All things are of God.
Yes.
All these things are of God. We are now new creatures. And this is why he makes this recommendation when he says in this, he says, we pray you in Christ that be ye reconciled to God. He's saying, hey, look, he says, let me tell you how you get the way I am. You need to be reconciled to God. Let me tell you how you go free from what you're going through. You need to be reconciled. You need to come to God. You need to be brought to the Lord. You need to have the Lord in your life. You need to belong to God.
Yeah, yes.
All these things, all these woes, everybody's looking for a system and a way and a phrase and something to say and a scripture to read. And you want somehow to work all these things without having God. It's like having all the ingredients to a cake and you put them in a bowl and you beat them and you do all the things you do and you pour them in the pan and you have no heat. You'll never get a cake.
Amen. Right. That's right.
The batter will stay there long enough to dry out.
Yes.
And it'll never be a cake. Because you must add heat to it in order to bake it. And everybody wants to come to church long enough to get a scripture to then go home and feel good about it at night. But the scriptures won't work without the Holy Ghost.
All right. Yeah, that's right.
And everybody wants their burden lifted. And you want to hear the word of God. And you feel so good when we say to you, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And you're going home looking for your morning. Your morning only comes if Jesus goes with you.
Yeah, that's right.
Everybody's looking for, you know, I need a blessing. I need a blessing. I love it. I love it when they read, open up, you know, pour me out a blessing, shaking down, running together. You know, I just love all that. Open the window of heaven, pour me out a blessing, have not room enough to receive. If you sow bountifully, you shall also reap bountifully. You just love all that.
Yeah.
I love it too. It's designed for people who will be new creatures.
Yes.
It's designed for people who will be in God.
Yes.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. And we ourselves can't explain to the people because we say, well, why can't you explain to someone that you knew? Well, I used to drink. I don't drink anymore. That's the extent of what Christ done across the Calvary. Could you stop you from drinking? My God, prohibition did that.
Yes. Yep.
Well, you and the Lord, hey, yes, I'm so glad I'm saved now. I used to run down them clubs. I remember I used to run down them clubs. That's the extent of your salvation? Is that all you got? What if I don't go to clubs already? What if I don't smoke now? What if I didn't drink when I met you?
Right, right.
And a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
What if I'm not sick when I met you?
Right.
Still, God has so much more for me. There's so much more in God. You know, I was thinking about it today, and I said, you know, maybe it's Sunday, Lord. You know, usually if I preach something, I will use it again. But thinking about that for young people, you could explain to them why it's so much greater to be married. One while people were running around and had this thing about all the young men were running around for a little while. It was scary too. Talking about, I ain't gonna marry nobody. I'm gonna be in God's will. Yeah, okay. That made a mess.
Yes.
Hope we don't ever see that come around again.
Mm-hmm.
You decide you want to be married, that's on you. But hey, don't run around telling everybody, hey, you don't need no wife. What you want to do? Be 80 before they decide to get married? You know, I could say to young people, I ain't ready to get married yet, but she wants to be in bed.
Yes.
And I could say something so simple as saying to them, let me tell you the advantages of being married. Like, why do I need to be married? One, I'm never alone.
Yes.
I always have companionship.
Yeah.
I always have help. And if I marry the right person, I always have someone to listen to me.
Yes.
I always have someone to listen to. I have somebody to watch TV with. I have somebody, you know, just, you know, and the list just goes on. And then the other one, since the main thing that you're doing when you're shacking is just having sex, when you're married, you can have all the sex you want, still go to heaven.
Yeah.
Assuming you're just having sex with each other. When you're married, you don't have that problem. You can go in and just, you know, you know, say, well, can I do it at 9 o'clock in the morning if you want to? You know, like have at it, you know, 3:05 in the afternoon, no big deal. Hey, just you know, as long as just the two of you, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You know, if you close all your windows and street through your house naked. Hey, against such, there's no law. Go on about your business. But you would rather sneak around and be shag.
Right, yes.
Don't you see the liberty? There's just so much of an advantage to it. If you really have a good marriage, there's a thing that they use in the world as a site. I don't know if it's a psychological term, Sean, or whatever. It's called synergy. Mm-hmm. And synergy means that although I can only live 10 pounds and you can only live 10 pounds, the two of us together can live 30 pounds.
Yes.
I mean, that's just an example.
Yeah.
Two of us together are strong. We don't just double our strength. It multiplies. There's a synergy in a good marriage.
Yes.
Your money goes further and your life gets longer and your happiness is there, and on a down day you've got somebody. When you have a good marriage, there's so much of an advantage to it. So, well, is this on marriage? No, I'm explaining this to say the relationship between the church and Christ is a marriage.
Yes.
If I could get you to get in Christ, to have Christ, there's such a great advantage to it. He, you know, you can unload all your burdens on him. You can talk to him. He shows you the way. There's so much more to it than just, I used to drink and I don't drink no more. I'm so tired of hearing that. The things I ain't never smoked no cigarettes. You were just as big a sinner as the people who were.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I ain't never sat on a bar stool. You were just as big a sinner as the person who did.
That's right, yes.
I ain't never touched my lips. Well, liquor never went in your lips, but I wish all the stuff that came out of your lips didn't come out.
Yeah. Amen. Yes.
You file in the box.
Amen.
You know, talking about what's going on in your lips. Well, I wish nothing had come out of your lips, because, you know, would to God that had been true.
Yes.
So when we're talking about being new creatures, we have to get the revelation ourselves. If we're going to preach to other people, They need to, there's so much, there's such an advantage to being in God.
Yes, it is.
When a hurricane comes, we're so worried about it. We're concerned. Huh? We go out there and turn over the, you know, nail down everything so it doesn't blow away in the wind, do common sense stuff. But we depend on God.
Yes.
There's so many situations and things that go on in the world that we're depending on God. I look at my iPad and I get these notes from the DNC and all these different people about, you know, alert, we got to watch out. You know, Mitch McConnell's doing this and doing that. You know, I just trash all of them.
Yeah.
I'm depending on God. He can do whatever he wants to do. I'm depending on God. People need to be saved. You need a new life. So why? Well, because when sin came, we became trash.
Yeah, we became corrupted.
For lack of a better word. We were corrupted and became trash. It's just like, and when the Lord saves us, he salvages us.
Yes.
We're salvaged. That's why we use the word salvation. He comes in and he salvages us. He finds some use out of us, and he picks us up and cleans us up. You've ever seen, I watch the things on YouTube, on Facebook sometimes, of them restoring. They'll find something, they dig it about the ground, they find it, and then they restore the whole thing. The Lord restores us. He restores my soul. He keeps me and brings me back. If I could get the people on this street right here beside this church to understand, you need God. I can look at you in your life and tell you need God.
Yes, yes.
But if you were driving Rolls Royce, I can look at you in your life and tell you still need God. But you're easy to spot. Because you don't have even the riches of, you don't even live world in the earth.
Yeah.
You definitely need God.
Right, yeah. You certainly do, yes.
You don't even have what you need in the earth.
Yes.
At least the rich people, they don't have God, but they do have what they need in the earth. You don't even have that. You really need God.
Yeah. Yes.
If you could get to the point where I could explain to all the young people, you know, if you'll have God, you won't have, you know, like, we ought not have migraines. I say that kind of glibly, but migraines, since they're primarily triggered by stress,
yes.
You know, you really, really stress out when you do that, or you have extreme high blood pressure, one or the other. Either one of them, you need to do something about.
Yeah.
God can heal the high blood pressure, and for sure he can end the stress. Matter of fact, I used to rebuke my sister. She used to say to me, don't get all stressed out. And I used to tell her, don't even use that term with me, being stressed out. I know she meant well, but I was irritated just about the term. I don't mean you to get all stressed out, because I don't get stressed out.
Yeah.
You can be angry but not be stressed. Stressed out people are people who do things that they have no business doing.
Yeah.
And they're just really going through. Saints don't have any business being stressed out. You can be angry and not be that.
Yes.
But if we could convince people, you know, when they look at our life, it has to be more than just what I quit doing.
Yeah.
And it has to be so much more about what I gained in God. My peace is in God. The mindset that I have, the way that I think, the way that I am, it's in God. The liberty that I have, I walk in the perfect liberty that's in Christ Jesus, that's in God. And I'm not giving it up for anybody. I had yielded it over to some people for a certain amount of years, which was a mistake in my life. But now that I've come to it and God has shown me where the liberty of Christ is, I will not yield it again.
Yes.
No, where we go and what we have in God, we're supposed to give to others. They need to know that if you don't have, you know, when Christ died for us, he died not only so we'd have, he said, I'm coming that you'll have life and that more abundantly. It's not just an issue of having, it is mostly an issue of eternal life, but it's also life on earth. There's a freedom and a liberty that people need to see us in on earth. And it has to be more than we just don't go to bars and smoke cigarettes.
That's right.
Yes.
That's why in this day and time, I've been studying so much, I've been looking so much about the generational shift in fashions and in how people dress and what they do. American society and world society, it's not just in America, the world is getting away from ties.
Yeah.
Long time ago, men stopped wearing waistcoats and long, you know, you look at old movies in the 1800s or whatever, they were in tuxedos. We call those tuxedos.
Yeah.
They wear them every day.
Yeah.
With the high button collars and the trimmed down vest and all those. We call that formal attire.
Yeah.
It is only worn on occasion. And now they're getting to the point now where, you know, you very seldom see anybody, unless they're in the middle of a big business meeting. President doesn't wear a tie, you know, Angela Merkel's in pants and you know, around the world, everybody's just where they are right now. It's there's no need of fighting that.
Yeah.
And I bring that up simply because that's a battle that's not worth fighting.
Yes.
You need to just, you know, in time, teach people to respect God and come to God and know God. When they get God, and when you get God in the right perspective, people come to meet him in the right way.
Yes.
Those things happen. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So then I plan on getting over to the last part over here in chapter 6 where it says, in the last part, in 17, 6 and 17, wherefore come ye out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. And Pentecostal people like myself among them, buddy, we love this scripture. Wherefore, come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. We'll just end it out. Come out. Come on out. There's so much to come out from that's not just like what you think. It's come out from under all the bondage of the world.
Yes.
And come out from all the burdens of the world. Come out from all, in Paul's time, when he talked about this, come out from all the lies in the world and all the deception. You know, it's another thing I say about being married. You know, when you get married, you can stop playing the game. You know, if you really, you know, have a good marriage and you love one another, you don't play games anymore. You can come out of the dating game, the courting game, you know, and, you know, you can, you know, I'll leave that where it is. But you can stop playing the game. When he says, come out from among them and be ye separate, come out from the people who are in the world who are in bondage to sin.
Yeah.
Not just come out from what you don't like, you know, not just, and although many of those things you do need to come out of, but come out of the bondage that is sin. Come out from among all those who don't have a true God. Come out from among all those who don't have anybody they can tell all their burdens to. Come out from among all the people who are suicidal. Mm-hmm. Come out from among the people who have PTSD, but they don't turn to God. And come out from among all the people who have whatever they have going on and all the issues. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And what's the separation? Because now we're Pentecostals speaking in tongues? No, because we belong to God.
Yes, yes.
If we speak in tongues, so much the better. But the point, the separation being those that are in Christ versus those who are not in Christ.
Yes, amen.
Not those who are Pentecostal versus those who are Baptists. Those who are Baptists versus those who are... No, the separation is come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Be ye separate from people who have not chosen the Lord. Be ye separate from the people who will not repent. Be ye separate from all the people whose name is not written on high. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. And I will be your father and you will be my sons and daughters. You notice the relationship. I will be your father, you'll be my sons and daughters. Not you'll be my slaves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will be your king and you'll be my servant. Yeah. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, but that's not the relationship we have.
Yeah.
Barack Obama had two daughters. He was our president, but he was their dad.
Yeah.
He was their president too, but he was still their dad.
Yeah. Amen. Yes.
God is my father. He's the King of kings. He's the King of the universe. He's Lord of lords. He's everything. He's all in all.
Yes.
And ain't I nothing? He's my father.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Aren't I something?
Yes.
He's my father.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
He rules everything, and he's my father. He allows me to say, as it says in Romans, Abba, Father. Abba, meaning true father.
Yes.
You know, he has adopted me and made me a son, not a servant. He's my father. He's my father.
Yeah.
The God of the universe is my father. If I'm living out here, if I'm out here starving, it's not his fault.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I haven't gone to him.
Yeah, that's right.
If my life is raggedy, it's not God's fault. It's my fault.
Yeah, that's right.
All my failures in life are mine.
Yes.
So, the devil comes in. Hey, he can come in all he wants to, but unless I let him make me a failure, I won't become one.
Amen.
He upholds me by his power.
Yes.
All the things that don't work out in life, they're mine. The things that do work out, that's God.
Amen.
He's my Father. He says, come out from among them and be ye separate, said the Lord. In other words, this is where we talk about if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
Yeah.
Come out from among them and be ye separate. 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 When I die, I become separate. Death is a separation.
Yeah.
It means I've moved from one thing to another. There's no portion of it in the other.
Yeah.
Either I'm God's son or you're God's son or daughter, or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have two fathers. One's God and one's the devil.
Yeah, you can't.
That's right.
Well, I'm really the devil's child. I'm God's stepson. It doesn't work like that.
No.
That other one had to die. Come out from among them and be ye separate, said the Lord. And I'll be your father, you'll be my sons and daughters. And I will receive you, he says. Touch not the unclean thing. And I'll be your father, you'll be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And then he says in 7, having these promises, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. These are things that we're working on every day. And I don't know why it is that among us who are in the house of God, we every time we talk about cleansing, we look at everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
When he says, let us cleanse ourselves, you notice Paul doesn't even say, let why don't you cleanse yourself? He says, let us cleanse ourselves. Isn't this what my Bible says? He says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Let us cleanse ourselves. Y'all need to clean yourself up. Y'all need to get right up in here. No. Let us cleanse ourselves.
Yes.
Let's cleanse ourselves, because the more the Holy Ghost digs, the more dirt he finds. If you're going to be this person who's being renewed and growing towards being renewed, so I ain't got no dirt in me, then I need you to go pray for T'Angela Rogers.
Yes.
Because if you have no fault in you like Jesus, you are a miracle worker.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I don't mind saying it. I need you to go lay hands on Ella Paulette. I need you to lay hands on me and so many other people. I need you to go lay hands on Sister Nancy. We're praying for her and we're asking God to move in all these different ways. But it's obvious we're not as perfect in God as we need to be, because we don't have the power that Jesus has. So if you're saying, ain't nothing wrong with me, ain't nothing wrong with me, your church should be overflowing with people. Because you should be able to walk through the neighborhood, and with the miracles and signs that you have, people, you should not have room enough to put all the people in your church. Should bear all kinds of fruit. We're praying and asking God to move and do all those things and doing the best we can. But if you're someone who has no sin in you, There's no fault in you. Well, I didn't mean it like that. Then how did you mean it? Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in fear of God. In other words, in respect to God, obeying God. Fear here doesn't mean you're scared of God and you go to bed and you're horrified. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a reverential respect for God. Yes, God has all power. Yes, God is able to just take breath from us. Yes, he does. He's able to do that just like a new mother is able to smother her infant child. But she's not going to do it.
Yes.
Because she loves the child. She's not going to do it. Yes, God has all power. You better be scared of God because God can do it. Yes, he could.
He's a loving
God. He could have ended it in the garden.
Yes.
But that's not the fear he's asking for here. He's asking for us to have reverential fear because we love him and know who he is. This is the respect that we have for God. Don't you know when you don't serve God, it's disrespectful?
Yes. Yeah.
Don't you know when people don't obey God? That's what it says in Romans in the first chapter. And I'm finishing. It says that when they saw God coming through, they would not glorify him. When he was walking the earth and they know who he was, and they would not glorify
him.
They wouldn't have anything to do with him. And as he walked among them, they stopped receiving him as God. They knew who he was.
Yeah.
And then they started getting the mindset like, hey, you know, okay, that's God. No big deal. I'm doing fine. Yeah. So how can anybody ever get like that? Don't our children get like that sooner or later?
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
To a certain degree. They get like that. We get like that. Is that the way we are?
Yeah.
Yes, that's what sin does.
Yes.
Says when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but went on about, did whatever they wanted to do. Told Cain, bring this sacrifice. He brought something else and said, hey, look, you know, what you want me to tell you? That's what I had. If any man be in Christ, everybody standing. There's no way in the world you can follow on to know the Lord if every week you get torn down and you have to rebuild yourself back again.
Mm-hmm.
If every time you go to a meeting you get torn down and you have to build yourself back again, you'll never grow.
Mm-hmm.
If every time somebody gets up to preach, they have to remind you of how you don't have enough faith and how you this and how you that, now you will never grow.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the Word of God that builds up and edifies, builds up, encourages. I'm so glad you're saved today, and I'm praying you'll do even better tomorrow. And at this time, I'm just glad you're here. And I'm glad you'll listen to the Word of God. And I'm glad you'll hear the Word of God and allow the Lord to work it and allow the Lord to work in you and allow the Lord to move in people. If every week, you know, here we have to come through and it's family night, who grows from that? So I thank God. If every one of us will come to a point where you start to say to yourself, I'm a new creature, new in Christ. Then if you don't feel like you're new, repent and ask God to save you all over again.
Amen.
Lord, make me new.
Make me new, Lord.
And, you know, and so, you know, I looked at my hands. They looked new. I looked at my feet. They did too. That ain't good enough, Lord. I need to look at this mind.
Yes.
I need this mind renewed. My hands are getting more wrinkled day by day, but I need my mind to be renewed. I need a new spirit and I need a new way. Lord, I'm just, you know, if you look at yourself and say, Lord, I'm just as stubborn as I was 50 years ago. You need to do something else. And God forbid if you're worse now. You know, really, to be honest, if you stop having compassion and you stop being sensitive and you say to yourself, I don't put up with people so many years now, I don't need to put up with no more, you backslid. Because God has given you compassion. And God has given you, if you now decide you don't need to do any of those, well, what else is it? Let's lift our hands. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you've made us new creatures, not just made over, Lord, but new creatures in Christ. Lord, we thank you for the newness that you've given us in the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, O God, the life we now live in the flesh we live because of the Son of God who loved us and gave his life for us, O Lord.
Lord, in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being, O God. Lord, he is our breath and our peace and our strength, Lord. We thank you for your goodness and thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for how you led and kept every one of us, O God. Lord, bless us. And bless us in our churches, Lord, that we would bear much fruit. Lord, give us a word for the weary in the season. And Lord, give us what to say to everyone we would meet, that they would desire to have the God that we have. Lord, that they would desire the life that we have, O God, in Jesus' name. Lord, move in us. In the name of Jesus, Lord, move by your Spirit that your will be done. And Lord, that we would bear much fruit in the earth. Lord, I pray, Lord, bless us. Bless every church. Bless New Covenant. Bless Emmanuel. Lord, bless Promise. Bless all the churches, Lord, that in the Gulf Coast, the churches in Church of the Living God. Lord, bless every church in the world, Lord, where the gospel is preached.
The gospel.
Lord, among all men and on the face of the whole earth, Lord, move by your Spirit in every church where the gospel is preached.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, stretch forth our hands, Lord, and heal and deliver, Lord, and move by signs and wonders, and many will be saved, Lord. Bring them to your precious Son, Jesus Christ, that they might be saved. Lord, deliver them from the power of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. And Lord, we'll glorify your name. Lord, heal us. Lord, touch us tonight, Lord. And Lord, drive out this change, work this out with this COVID-19
yes,
situation,
yes.
Oh God. It's not just the disease, it's the people in the disease.
Yes,
Lord, so much needs to be changed, not only, Lord, for just the virus, but the behavior and way of the people, oh God. Lord,
yes.
Keep us from evil people that have not faith.
Yeah, amen.
Move among us, oh Lord, and keep us in the earth, although Lord, we are still in the earth, Lord. We are not of this earth. Lord, keep us, O God, every day, O Lord. And let no hurt nor harm befall us, O Lord, for you are the Lord God that healeth. And Lord, we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for all of you. You can be seated. Thank God for all of you. Right now, Sunday morning, I will be in Tampa. Their service is scheduled to start at 10:15, which is 9:15 our time. If you Zoom with Promise on Sunday morning, you know. But more than likely, it'll probably be around 10:30 before they start, which would be 9:30. So I'm saying that if you pull us up on Zoom, if you come up on Zoom at 9:30, you probably won't be late. You'll probably be just fine. But I will start the Zoom session as soon as they get started, and it'll be there. And if you're not in someone else's service Sunday morning, then I'll be there and be preaching Sunday morning. Hopefully I'll have the Lord will give me something to say. But I thank God for all of you. And good to see Sister Nancy tonight. I pray the Lord's blessing, Sister Jacobs, Ella Rogers, Sister Barbara, India. Praise God for you. L.A., happy birthday again. Is today your, when was your birthday? Today?
It was two days ago.
It was Monday.
Monday, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
yeah, I thought I saw it out there. Well, happy birthday to you. We're glad. I almost didn't respond because once before someone sent out a thing saying it was your birthday, and then you had to sit out and tell everybody, no, that's not my birthday. So I don't remember.
That was David. David gave me a tribute on his birthday.
Oh, okay.
So everybody thought it was my birthday, but it was his birthday.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we get to the point now. We get old fast enough. We don't need to have two of them one year. Praise the Lord. Good to see you, Elder Russell, Sister Russell. I'm sorry I missed your call, but praise God for you, Sister Nancy. It's good to see you tonight. I pray the Lord just bless you and Michael and keep all the crystals down in the corner. Praise God for you. And as always, thank God for all the thanks and promise. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. That's the words of my mouth.
The words of my mouth.
Meditation of my heart.
Meditation of my heart.